Mountain lashes out at me, but with Jesus by my side, I am satisfied, and it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. And in His presence, I am sheltered from the storm. And it's so good to have His Spirit. And it's so good to have His Word. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. When I come to the crossing of the tide, and I see old Jordan's waters deep and wide, that dark river I'll not fear, for my Jesus will be near. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. In His presence, I am sheltered from the storm. And it's so good to have His Spirit. And it's so good to have His Word. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. And I'm thankful this morning to know that there is peace and there is safety in the arms of Jesus. There's nowhere else that I have found the peace and the satisfaction that you find in the arms of Jesus. I've never found it anywhere else. This morning I got a thought, and our thought is on time. And we've talked an awful lot about that, even through Vacation Bible School. And the last Wednesday night meeting that we had, we talked about time. And this morning, that's kindly along the thoughts of where our thought come from this morning is time. And I want you this morning, if you're here and lost, maybe if you would, just to pay attention for just a short time. And I realize this morning that no one knows your heart. I don't know your heart. The church doesn't know your heart. But that comes down between you and the Lord this morning. And I want most of all for God's people to draw closer to the Lord. And I want those that may be lost and separated to be saved before we leave this place this morning. Certainly, we don't know how long we have lived. And I'll be honest with you, I believe the older I get, the more precious time really gets. I really didn't have an understanding of time until I got older and started to have children, and really just how fast, quickly time goes by. And this morning, we want you to listen to what thus saith the Lord. I want to go this morning to some familiar scripture, and I want to be taking our reading lesson this morning from the 19th chapter of Genesis. And I want to look this morning about a man named Abraham and a man named Lot. And I want us to think a little bit about these things this morning. And I want us to look at a few things as far as Abraham. No doubt there had been around 10 generations that had passed since the flood and since Noah's time. And we read about how Abraham had been born, and no doubt how he had his brethren, and his brother had a son by the name of Lot. And we know there that Abraham's brother had died at somewhat of an early age. And Abraham began to be somewhat of Lot's caretaker, if you will, and began to almost be a father figure to him, as the Scripture teaches. And no doubt as a great famine had entered into that country, and they had made their way into Egypt, the Bible says, for it was plenteous in that time when the famine had came upon them. And Abraham and Lot had begun to grow in size, and the substance that they had as far as their herds had begun to grow. And we know there that there began to be a little, not necessarily confrontation, but there began to be a little stirring, if you will, amongst the people, and talk of conversations about how there wasn't enough room for them to dwell there together. And Abraham looked over to Lot, and he told him, he said, look out here, and he said, you choose in which way you are to go. And we know there that the Bible says that Lot had stood up and he had looked out at the great plains there of Jordan, and how that they were likened to the plains there of Egypt, and how they were plentiful, and how that they had a great substance of water, and how that the grass and those things were plenteous in those times. And he began to look out, and the Bible says that he chose those things that were looked good into his eye. And he began to look out, and as he did, we know there that he pitched his tent, the Bible says, towards Sodom. And yet we find here that Abraham had enough confidence in the Lord, as he was called Abram at the time, but he had enough confidence in the Lord that he looked over at Lot and he said, Lot, he said, you choose you out a place that you shall go. And we know there that he chose what looked good to his eye. And I want you to understand something today. As God's people, oftentimes we are looking out at what looks good to our eye instead of looking out into what God might have for us. We're looking out into the world, into the substance of the things, and what looks pleasing to our eye, and yet we're pitching our tent towards destruction and towards things of the world, my friend, that the Bible teaches us that is going to burn up with a fervent heat one day after a while. Now listen this morning. Abraham chose out, and we know there that as he began to follow the Lord, and we know there that that God had instituted a covenant with Abraham, and he told him there that his seed should be plentiful and that he should be established forever. And we know there that he told him to trust in the Lord and to follow and do what God would lay upon him. And I'm paraphrasing these things for time's sake this morning. But he established with him a covenant. And we know here that some time began to pass. And even this time, no doubt, I believe in my heart, Abraham had a great love for Lot. He had helped raise him up. He had a great love for him. I kind of feel like maybe he loved him like he would a son since his father was gone. And he wanted to see him do right. And no doubt we can go to Peter, and we may hear in a little while, but we know Lot was a saved man. And we know that Peter described him yet as a righteous man and a just man. And we know here this morning that in those things, we know the Bible teaches us that yet Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And I believe in my heart Abraham had a great love for him. Even so, when those four kings that we read about come upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know there that Lot was taken captive, and all of his possessions, and even his wife was taken captive, that Abraham came in with, the Bible says, 318 men, and he went in amongst those people, and we know there that brought Lot out and the possessions. He had a great love for Lot, and yet even still, Lot went back to Sodom. In the beginning, he had just pitched his tent towards Sodom. But yet he began to make steps and progressions towards that city. It began to tug upon his heart. And yet he began to go and get closer and closer and closer, until we find in the 19th chapter that he was there in that very city. And he was there at the gate of the city. No doubt, I believe he had established in that 20 years, some 20 years had passed since he had left Lot, since he had left Abraham, and there that he had gathered himself in Sodom. Some 20 years had passed, and there he is. The Bible says that he was in that city and that he was a keeper of the gate. I believe there in that time that he had established himself, he had somewhat of an authority in that city. Exactly what job he was doing, I don't know. But I'll say this, He had moved up in rank, if you will. He had established himself in that city. And I want to take this morning, if you would, for time's sake, I want to read just a little bit in the beginning of the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. And do pray for us this morning. I want to be able to get our thought out. And it says, there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, in your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called upon Lot and said unto him, we are the men which came unto thee this night. Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out unto the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. But behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you as ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and will needs to be judged. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. And so they were wearied themselves to find the door. And I want to stop there for just a moment in time. We know as we look back into the Scripture that the Lord had sent there three messengers to Abraham. And we know there that he had allowed Abraham to understand that a great destruction was going to come upon Sodom. And we know there that these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, would be destroyed. And we know there that no doubt that Abraham began to pray and to begin to ask the Lord. He said, Lord, if there be 50 righteous, he said, will you not save it? And he told him that he would. And we know there that he went on down to 45. He said, Lord, if there be 45, would you not save them if you find these righteous? And we know there the Scripture teaches us that he began to go on down in his numbers until finally he came to 10. And the Lord told him there, he said, if we'd find 10 righteous, he said, we would spare them there in this city. And we know then that no doubt I want you to understand something this morning, that when God makes a promise, I want you to understand that God intends to follow it through. And God had told them there that Sodom and Gomorrah and these cities would be destroyed. And yet we know there that no doubt Abraham knew that Lot was in this city. And he had a great love for Lot. But we find here these two angels had come into Sodom. And yet this city was full of wickedness. I'm telling you, the name Sodom, we look up the word sodomy, comes from this word, this place called Sodom, if you will. And my friend, it was a disgusting, vile place. And this morning, that ain't necessarily our whole thought, and I don't want to get off on all of that. But I'll tell you this morning, there's a great resemblance of the things that was going on in Sodom as we see the things that are going on in the world today. And I'm telling you this morning that God was not pleased then, and my friend, God is not pleased today. He's not pleased. This world is full of sin, it's full of wickedness, and it is a vile and disgusting place that men do the things that men do. I'm telling you today, the only hope that it is in the world is through the name of Jesus Christ and His church that is the light of the world, that's to go out and to share the gospel and the good news that the Lord has planted in here. These angels had come into this place. And these men began to gather around, young and old, that they might desire, that they might have these two messengers that came from God. They wanted to be with them. And Lot said, Lord, forbid these things happen. He said, take my two daughters that's never knew a man. Even though Lot was gathered in this place of Sodom, bless his heart, he hadn't given in to all of the afflictions and all the things that Sodom had to offer. At least he was willing to stand upon the principles and the knowledge and the truth of God that there are things in the world that are wrong. I'm telling you this morning, and maybe I get too loud for y'all sometimes. I can't help it. I get excited. But I'm telling you this morning, there are things that are going on in this world right now that God is not pleased with. Things that are disgusting and vile. To be quite honest with you, that the world doesn't want us talking very much about. They're prideful about those things. Well, they've got a whole month dedicated to them. I'm telling you, that doesn't mean I ain't trying to get off on all that. It doesn't mean that I don't love them. It doesn't mean that God don't love them. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want them to be saved. But I'm telling you, God ain't pleased in it. That ain't the way that He set it up. It wasn't only in this offense, the Scripture teaches us that God had sent these messengers that He might bring out Lot, that they might be warned. There was other things that was going on inside of them. Listen, there's other things that's going on in the world today besides sodomy. Listen to me this morning. Y'all can disagree with me, bless your heart, but listen to me. There's something wrong with a nation and a country, my friend, that thinks it's okay to abort and kill little babies. I don't like it. It ain't right. And to me this morning, it don't matter what political party you belong to. I ain't about standing up here and this ain't a platform for that in my opinion. But I'm telling this morning, those things ain't right and God ain't pleased with them. God said, I'm done with it and I'm going to destroy it. But yet this morning He sent messengers that away. Even though Lot had pitched his tent toward Sodom and he had turned his back somewhat against God, he said, listen, I know that this right here is not right. And those people, those men, boy, they didn't like him. They wanted him out of the way. They wanted him out of the way. They began to beat upon the door that they might go in and get those two men. And we find there then that these two angels blinded these men that stood at the door. A great blindness come upon them. Listen to me. Not only was they blind spiritually, but yet now they were blind physically. Listen to me, in the day and time that we're living in, there are so many people that are spiritually blind, they cannot see. And it is up to us as God's people to try our best to point them towards Jesus. Listen to me this morning. He began to tell them as they began to find the door. It said that they were wearied themselves trying to find the door. It says then, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou there any besides the son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whosoever hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them has waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. He said, warn your family.
He said, whoever is there, he said, warn them. He said, go into your son-in-laws. Go into your daughters. He said, warn them, because the cry has waxed against, it's waxed great against the Lord. And he said, God is fixing to destroy it. This week, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how folks are all the time saying, boy, prophecy's being fulfilled. Prophecy's being fulfilled. I'm telling you right now, I'm not waiting on any prophecy to be fulfilled. My friend, I believe in my heart that that trumpet could blow at any moment in time. And honey, that eastern sky will roll back as a scroll and the Lord will come back. I'm not waiting for nothing to be fulfilled this morning. I'm telling you, I believe in all of my heart, when the Father looks over at the Son and says, go gather my children, it's time, and you best be ready. I'm telling you right now, this morning, this place, listen to me. I can remember being a boy and growing up, and I don't remember all of this foolishness going on that's in the world today. And honey, I want to be an optimistic, and I want to believe in the mercy of God. And honey, that's the only reason this morning that he hadn't returned yet, is because of his mercy, is because of his grace, and because of his great love for mankind. That's the only reason this morning that he hasn't sent his son back yet. That's the only reason. You say, preacher, you're telling me that God sent these messengers that he might destroy this place. Yes, he did, and I'm telling you, it's going to happen again. I'm telling you, it's going to happen again. And it troubles my heart this morning. It troubles me. And it should trouble us all. He's going to destroy it. Listen to me. He said, Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which had married his daughters, and said, up, get you up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons. Listen to me, the world this morning wants to mock you. And listen to me, there are people, just like the brother was talking about in Sunday school this morning, there are people that do not believe in the truth of God's word. But I'm telling you this morning, this word will stand when this world is on fire. It's the only thing that we can stand on. My friend, it is truth, and it is God. And listen to me this morning. It says that God became the Word. Listen to me this morning. It's special to be able to open His Word and for God to come upon the scene and Him to reveal Himself through His holy word to you. And honey, I'm telling you this morning that I'm still learning and I'm still trying to grow, and I realize that I don't know it all and I've still got a long way to go, but I'm thankful from where He's brought me and to where I am today. Because boy, I tell you what, each and every time that we open God's word up, He ought to reveal more and more and more. We ought to have a desire to learn more and more and more about Him. Listen to me. It said that they mocked Him. There may be some here this morning, listen, that says, boy, that old stuff is foolishness. That preacher up there, he's foolishness. Bless your heart, I'm telling you this morning, you might believe all of that. But honey, I'm telling you, I know this morning that it's real. And I believe in all of my heart. I know this morning that I've got something in here that God has planted that makes me just as happy, that stirs me up inside. I can't help it this morning. I thank God that I'm a child of the King. I thank God this morning that I serve a God that's alive. I thank God this morning that He is my hope, that He is my refuge, that He is my hiding place. I thank God this morning to know that my Savior lives. And this morning, if He returns tomorrow, there's no fear for me. There's no fear. Can you lay your head down on your pillow at night? Boy, I'm so glad this morning that I know, that I know, that I know. When I lay my head down on my pillow at night, there's no fear for me. There's a peace in my heart this morning. I'm thankful to know that this morning. I'll try to move along. Boy, I'm so happy this morning to be a child of Jesus. I'm so happy this morning to know that there's no fear there for me. Listen to me. He wants more than anything this morning for you to be saved. Only God the Father knows the hour and the time that this thing's going to be done. When He says it's finished. See, with God, He's no respecter of person. Listen, God doesn't work off the same time system that me and you work off of. I told you before, I didn't realize just how quickly time passed until I had my first boy. And it just seemed like yesterday that I was holding him in my arms for the very first time, and he was just a baby, and I was just as scared and felt just as helpless as I could feel. And now when I look at him, it just amazes me how fast he grows. And then you begin to look at people, older people, and they'll say, boy, it just gets faster and it faster and it gets faster and faster. And before you know it, it's almost over. And they say that the peace that's in here, it just grows sweeter and sweeter because they know that they're drawing closer to home. And boy, I can understand that because time sure is precious and it sure is fast. But listen, with God, listen to me this morning. The Bible says over in Peter, He says, as one day is 1,000 years, as 1,000 years is one day. And God is not slacking concerning His promise. Meaning that one day after a while, He says, this place will be burned up with a fervent heat. You better believe it's going to be burned up with a fervent heat. It's coming. It's coming. You stand here just to rest assured as I'll tell you this morning, it's coming. Now listen to me, I'll try to hurry it along. He said, and when morning arose, the angels hasted Lot, saying, arise and take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. He said, arise and make haste. He said, hurry. He said, time's coming. Listen to me this morning, I feel like oftentimes as God's people, the Lord over there, He told them, He said, sleep and be not slumber. Listen to me this morning, half the time, if we're not careful as God's people, we're asleep. Listen to me this morning, it's time that we wake up as God's people. He said, make haste and hurry. I'm telling you, it may come tomorrow. I'm telling you, we've got lost loved ones at home that need to be saved. And you say, preacher, what is it that I can do? I'm telling you, I'm not, listen to me this morning, I'm not necessarily telling you, you follow the Lord and what God gives you. If He tells you to go home and testify to your family, and you go home and share your experience, then you do that. If He wants you to just live your life in a Christian way that represents Christ, then honey, you go do that. But you point them towards the one that can help them to the best of your ability. And you keep praying for them, that God might convict them, and that He might humble them. Listen to me. You might have those in your family that mock you. Listen, I've been there. I've had them in my family that sit there and laughed at me and mocked me when I tried to tell them about Jesus. And finally, I had to get down to a place where I said, Lord, I'm going to lay this at Your feet. And you know what He did? He took care of it. Listen to me this morning. Do you believe we serve a God that's big enough to take care of it? I didn't hear a single amen from that. Do you believe this morning we serve a God that's big enough to take care of it? Amen. He's big enough. See, it's me and sometimes my doubt. Listen to me this morning. My God is big enough. I've got to believe. And I believed in all of my heart, and you know what He did. He took care of it. And even still yet, if they don't surrender to the convicting power of God, listen to me this morning, if you lived your life and you pointed towards Jesus Christ, I'm telling you this morning, that blood is not on your hands. You point them towards Jesus and you tell them about Him. And then you let it fall where it may. I'm telling you, I know those things are difficult and I know that they're hard. But we've got to get to a place to where we lay it at Jesus' feet. But those two angels told Lot, he said, make haste and hurry and arise. And he said, get up out of this city, for they're fixing to be destroyed because of their iniquity. They're going to be consumed because of their sin. And listen to me this morning, this place, this earth, this very ground that we're standing in this morning, even this sanctuary that they're in. Listen to me, we don't like to talk about these things, but I'm telling you, this wood, all of these things that we see, every physical thing that we see this morning will be consumed. Everything. The homes that you live in, the clothes you got on your back, everything this morning will be burned up. It'll be consumed because of the sin. God said, I'll destroy it. He said, not with the flood. He put His rainbow in the sky. He said, I'll make a promise never to destroy it that way again. But He said, the next time I'll destroy it with fire. You ever put something through the fire? Fire will purify. What it does, it purifies. You get it hot enough, it'll purify. It hardens. Hebrews 12 tells us that God is a consuming fire. He intends to destroy this place. I believe that's Hebrews 12 and 25. Listen to me. He said, make haste and rise. He said, and while he lingered, the men laid upon his hand. He said, while he yet lingered. Listen to me this morning. Lot was a just man, and yet he was a righteous man, the Bible tells us, but yet he lingered, he tarried there. He didn't want to leave even after God had told him. He said, this place is fixing to be consumed. Listen to me this morning. Even God's people sometimes were lingering too much in Sodom. We're laying up idols and things, my friends, that are going to be consumed and burned up one day after a while, and I'm telling you, I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else. He lingered. His family there with him, his wife and his two daughters, knowing this place was fixing to be consumed, knowing that the two angels had told him, yet still he lingered. This morning I'm telling you, we're lingering too long. The lost are lingering. Why are they lingering? This morning, is our conviction where it needs to be? Is our burden where it needs to be? Do we see that Jesus might return? Listen to me. If the lost seen in earnest about us, maybe they'd make a move. Boy, I didn't. Don't get mad at me. If they seen in earnest about us, maybe they'd make a move. I don't know. But I'm telling you this morning, we need to not be lingering. It could be tomorrow. It could be another 1,000 years from now. I don't know. But I'll tell you, we need to be a living the best way that we can and asking God the direction that we need to go and our pitch and our tent. Listen to me. When you look out as Abraham did, the way that God may have you to go, it may not be the well-wateredest path. It may not have the greenest grass that you've ever seen. It may not be laid out just exactly like you had. But I'm telling you, if you'll follow God in the direction that He wants you to go in this life, He will be with you and walk with you every step of the way. He said they lingered. It said them two angels, He said, upon his hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, brought him forth and set him out of the city. Sometimes, listen, God's just got to get to our attention. Sometimes He's got to come in and just grab hold of us. And this morning I'm telling you, when that time comes, it won't be because of anything me and you've done, but it'll be because of the mercy of God and what He's done for us. That's the only hope this morning that we have, is resting in the assurance of Jesus Christ and His mercy. It says, "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth aboard, that He said, Escape for thy life. He said, Look not behind thee. He said, Neither stay there, and all the plain escape thy to the mountain, lest thy be consumed." This morning, and I want to try to finish just here in a moment. He said, "Escape for thy life. Escape for thy life." The only way this morning, lost friend, that you're going to escape the destruction that's coming, a magnitude like you cannot even imagine. The Bible tells us that when that time comes, that those that are small and great, no matter what your stature is, no matter where you think you can hide, no matter the caves, no matter where you think that you might call out for the rocks to fall upon you, God will find you. He'll find you. There's no hiding from God. And when that time comes, my friend, then the Bible says, who can stand? And only those who've been saved, only those who know Jesus, who have an experience, will be able to stand. That time's coming. He said, "Escape for thy life." Listen to me this morning. Jesus is saying, escape. Run. Come to me. Come home. I want you to be saved. Listen to me this morning. I'm telling you, there's a great separation that's going to take place. He said, don't look back. Don't look back. There's nothing here worth dying and going to hell over. Nothing. Nothing. Everything be burned up one day after all. There's nothing. Whether you die a physical death or the Lord comes back, if you've never been saved, you will burn forever and forever and forever. God is eternal. And just where heaven is eternal, and thanks be unto God because of what He's done for us that's been saved, one day after a while we'll be there to reign with Him forever and forever and forever. If you've never been saved, hell is where you will spend forever and forever and forever. He said, escape for thy life. The only way that we're going to escape is through and by the mercy of Jesus Christ and His blood that's been shed upon the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you this morning, if that don't make it special to you, I don't know what does. He said, but don't look back. I want to read this for time's sake and I'm going to be done. He said in the 26th verse, as they began to leave up out of that place, He said, but His wife looked back from behind Him, and she became a pillar of salt. His wife looked back. Lot took up out of that place. I'm telling you, the Lord says over here in Luke, and I want to read that in Luke in the 17th chapter. He says, likewise, in the 28th verse in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, He said, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they did drink, they bought, and they sold, and they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left, and two women shall be grinded together, and the one shall be taken, and the other left, and two men shall be in the field, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. And this morning I want you to know the Bible says that God had sent that fire and that brimstone. And this morning, if I can't make it any more clear to you than this, I don't know when that time's coming. But I'll tell you this morning that that's what the Lord Jesus said. And he even made a promise. He said, listen, only the Father knows the hour, the Son doesn't. And I'm telling you this morning that that time is a drawing near. I don't know when that time will be. But I'm telling you this morning, you better be ready. You better be ready. He said there will be two men that will be in one bed. He said there, he said one will be taken and one will be left. He said two women will be grinding at the mill and one will be taken and one will be left. He said two men will be in one field and one will be taken and one will be left. Listen to me this morning, I've got family that's lost that I want to see saved more than anything. They're precious to me just like your family are. Listen to me this morning. I know by some of you's testimony and what you say this morning that you're lost. And listen to me, I want you to be saved more than anything. But I'll say this. If the Lord Jesus returns today, or if He returns tomorrow, I'm telling you then, listen to me, we won't stop loving you, but the concern that we have for your soul will no longer be. Because when the Lord comes back to gather us, it's finished and it's over with. It's done. There won't be any more time to seek Him out. There won't be any more time to pray. Listen to me, they'll be calling out that time for the rocks to fall upon them. They'll be trying to run from the face of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what will be so miserable about that. That separation. They'll see their family leaving them. They'll see the Lord come back. Not only will they be in that torment, but when they enter into that lake of fire, the Bible says there's a great gulf fixed, and I believe in all of my heart they'll look over, and I believe one of the punishments will be that they'll be able to see their loved ones rejoicing over in heaven. I'm telling you this morning, there will be a great separation. There will be those loved ones that are left behind. And when that time comes, how sad it'll be for those that are left behind. But listen to me, church. There will be no more praying for them. There will be no more sorrow, no more tears. There will be no more tears that will be shed. We're going to a city that God has prepared. There's time, right now, time to be saved. The Lord, I believe in all of my heart, is saying, escape while there's time. Escape for your life. Run to Jesus this morning. I believe in all of my heart this morning that God is going to destroy this place because of the wickedness and because of the vileness, because of everything that we see going on. Listen to me, you ain't got to turn on the news very long to see how bad it's getting. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you how it is. The Sneed family sing a song, I Quit Watch. I used to get up in the mornings, and one of my favorite things to do was to drink my coffee and watch the news every morning. The last couple of years, I don't watch the news anymore. I quit watching it. I couldn't hardly bear to listen to it. People ask me, well, do you hear what's going on the news today? No, I don't. But the Sneed family sings a song called The News for Today. And I'm thankful for the news for today. It's God's Word, and He's still on the throne. That's the news for today. You want to find out what the news for today is. You open God's Word up and you let Him establish in your heart what His Word says. And it'll pick you up and it'll place you on a solid rock. I'm thankful to know that my Savior lives. Won't you seek Him while there's time? come to know the Lord. That'd be our song, brother, be our message. Brother Strode, if you would, get us a song this morning. Seek the Lord this morning. Don't be embarrassed. If God's knocking on your heart this morning, make a move. Listen to me, church, this morning. If there's something standing in your way, if it's been a while since you felt the Spirit of God move in your heart, go to the Lord and ask Him to move in your life. Won't you ask Him? Seek Him out.
Number 44. Number 44, verses 1 and 2.